They say that statistically, there are somewhere between 3 to 4 times as many women that embrace Islam as compared to the men that embrace Islam in the USA and also in the UK and so forth, in the Western world. SubhanAllah, if the clarity of our beliefs, belief in Allah, Tawheed, the belief in the Akhirah, the afterlife, heaven and hell, the belief in books and messengers and our morality and so forth, if this is something that benefits both men and women equally, why so many more women embracing Islam than men? I think it is the case, and Allah knows best, that perhaps we underestimate the power of the traditional home. I think we often take it for granted that we were raised in a traditional home and we think everybody must have experienced the same thing, which is just simply not true. When the non-Muslim woman sees the structure, the inclusion, the generosity, the unity of a Muslim family, many of them are witnessing something that they have not experienced before in their homes. Why is that the case? Well, because the nuclear family is in the steady decline. In the 1960s, 5%, only 5% of births were to unmarried mothers. That number kept on steadily increasing until 2008, when it remained around 41% of births were to unmarried women, single-parent homes. And so now it's hovering around that number, 41%. And it could be even more than that. So, subhanAllah, when non-Muslim women observe the household, or more specifically, when they see Muslim masculinity, the way men behave, and I'm not talking about being macho or something like this, what I'm referring to more specifically is the focus that men are taught to respect our sisters instead of sexualizing them, or teaching that as men, we're supposed to lead and provide and protect women. This can be a breath of fresh air, especially for women who have only experienced weak and needy boyfriends or absentee fathers. When women observe, when the non-Muslim women observe that our standard of clean living is something that is so appealing because we can have fun, we can get together without having to introduce drugs or intoxicants like alcohol. This must be a huge attraction, given that women are more likely to be taken advantage of when drunk more than men are. And although we don't realize it, many people have never experienced a party or a family gathering or a dinner without a few people, at least one or two people, getting drunk and perhaps belligerent. We're not used to that. And yet some people, that's the only way they know that people can get together and hang out and have fun. Hey, where's the drinks? Where's the drinks? It's always a question about what are we drinking tonight? And somebody always can't handle how much they take. When women see that our sisters are celebrated for their modesty, instead of being under the intense pressure of a beauty competition, always wondering who can sexualize themselves more for the male gaze and for male attention, they too want to opt out of this game and focus on what they deem to be important. And then the question becomes, well, what do women in general deem to be important? SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed the human being in a very particular way. And it seems that no matter what we try to introduce into society, no matter what trends seem to be popular, the fact of the matter is that by and large, women are family focused. That's always going to be the most fulfilling job, having children, having a family, raising them up, making them good people. This motherly instinct is something that just cannot be denied. And incidentally, family, unfortunately, is on the steady decline. If you want to read about this, you can take a look at an article that recently came out by the Wall Street Journal. It was recently published, entitled, "Suddenly There Aren't Enough Babies. The Whole World is Alarmed." So it's not just me coming up with this of my own. Take a look at the article, and subhanAllah, you got graphs showing, it's again, not just a Western thing, not just a European thing. This is a global phenomenon. And they show the graphs from all kinds of different countries watching this birth rates go plummeting. Now, for many places, beneath the replacement level. So we're gonna be seeing, and this is something that was predicted to maybe happen, you know, in the distant future. No, it's happening here and now. So the question is why? Why is it that having children seems to be something so distasteful in our modern day? Well, perhaps it's because of divorce rates. Divorce rates are on the rise, so people don't want to get married or have children or commit. People are more selfish nowadays because we have instant gratification. I order something, I get it instantaneously. I want to watch something, it's there in front of me. So marriage is something you have to work on. You know, it's an organic, slow growth between two people changing and transforming. That's too hard. I just want instant gratification. This culture that we have doesn't help. Decreasing in faith. People don't know what they believe in. Why would you introduce a child into a world that is a meaningless world? What's the point of that? Why would I bring, I find this world is meaningless. Why do I want to introduce a new person? It seems quite cruel if you have no faith. Abortion is more popular than ever. Testosterone rates continuously go lower and lower. This is something that is well documented. It's not a conspiracy. You can observe how testosterone levels are going down. And naturally, if men are having less and less testosterone, then they're less competitive. They have less of a desire or a drive to have some sort of a great legacy behind them. They just don't have that. They just want to sit at home, maybe play video games, and they're fine. Pornography addiction, dating apps, hookup culture, all these things make women feel obsolete and obviously take sexual attention away from actual people and committed relationships and therefore children, and instead directed towards something that is very quick and fleeting. And of course, feminism has convinced the generations of women that their success is in being more masculine. You need to outcompete the men, and this is going to be your success. And some women actually buy that and then typically feel quite depressed afterwards when they realize that your money and your wealth and your Gucci bag is not going to hold you at night like the kids will. It's just not going to happen. Whereas Islam encourages family. And I've already given a khutbah about this topic a while ago, citing many ayat and ahadith that specifically encourage parents to have more children. I'm not going to go over those same ayat and ahadith. I'm not going to repeat those points, but today I want to focus on something else. I'd like to focus on the benefits of siblings. Sometimes we don't think about this. What a great gift as parents it is to give your children multiple siblings, to have a big family. Why is it a blessing? Well, because siblings toughen you up. Each interaction teaches you the do's and don'ts of social interactions. You're always learning what to do and not to do. Each sibling has a unique personality, so you learn so much more about various personality types. A big family is like a high intensity course of conflict resolution. Kids are fighting all the time, and they're learning how to deal with someone when they're angry, how not to, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. And you're dealing with different personality types and different groups. And so it's this high intensity course, you could say, that is preparing you for the real world. And of course, having more children means you're going to have both genders, meaning that you're going to learn as a man from your sisters, as a woman from your brothers. You're going to understand the opposite gender a lot more. What are the benefits for the oldest sibling when you have lots of kids? In general, the oldest is more responsible. They have to take on more tasks. They're more managerial, more conscientious, more likely to run a business. In fact, some famous names that I'm sure many of us know, some of the biggest companies, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, they happen to be the oldest siblings in their families. What a coincidence. The oldest gets more individual attention in education, often benefiting them and making them smarter, and their sicknesses are addressed more carefully, making them healthier. So there's lots of benefits to being the oldest. What about the youngest child? The youngest gets very good at disarming and charming people. It's a survival mechanism to survive being the smallest, because obviously if you get your older siblings angry, they'll beat you up, right? Because you're small. So you learn how to be charming, how to disarm. The youngest is usually the funniest. Why? Because unfunny and uninteresting people, when you're the youngest, get very easily ignored. You're so small, everybody overlooks you. So you have to say something that actually catches attention. The youngest sibling tends to score higher on agreeableness. They're better with people. They're more sociable. And the youngest tends to also be a bigger risk taker, more creative, more artistic. And they usually live farther away from home as they get older and move out. And subhanAllah, when I was growing up, knowing lots of different families, it was consistently, I think about all the families I knew, the youngest always lived the furthest from that city, whereas the oldest usually lived closest to their parents. Sometimes in the same city, sometimes actually in the same neighborhood. So the oldest tends to stay closer to parents, and the oldest also tends to even maintain the belief systems and the values and the culture more, whereas the youngest seems to be more like the wild child and goes out the furthest, makes the most risks, and so forth. What about the middle children? The middle children tend to take longer to figure out who they want to be and what they want to do in their lives. They are often more sociable outside of the home than they are inside of the home because they feel somewhat neglected inside of the home. Why? I'm the middle child. I don't have that status of the oldest or the youngest. So they seem to be very sociable outside. Why? Also because the oldest is alone with the parents at the beginning. When parents just have one child, they're always focused on that one child. And the youngest is alone with the parents when everybody moves out. When everybody gets older and moves out, gets married, now the youngest is alone with the parents. However, what that means is that the middle child is going to feel like their arrival and their departure was the most meaningless. It was the least significant, which makes them feel more independent and least attached to their families. And also, the middle child tends to have a little bit of everything. Because you have to be in the role of the oldest for your younger siblings, and you have to be the role of the younger one for the older siblings, so you have to put on both hats, if you will. You have to learn everything. And this is why the middle child tends to be a jack of all trades, somebody who has lots of different skills. Now, this can be a positive or a negative. You'll often find that the middle child is the one who can potentially brilliantly harmonize lots of different talents. I'm really good at lots of different things, and I can harmonize those talents and do something very productive. Or, unfortunately, because you're good at lots of different things, the negative there is that you're confused, you feel lost, you don't know what your talent is, you don't know what your calling in life, your vocation is. So how do you mitigate that as parents? How do you mitigate this, you know, middle child syndrome, if you will? What is the solution? Well, you have more kids. If you only have three kids, then the oldest is the oldest, the youngest is the youngest, and the middle child is the only middle child. Everything falls on him as the lone middle child. But if you have five, then there's three middle children, right? So you can mitigate that by making sure that they don't feel isolated in their middle child status. That way, inshallah ta'ala, they have someone to learn with, those other siblings to deal with that and benefit each other. So parents, beware. Beware of the fact that fathers tend to favor the youngest girl and mothers tend to favor the oldest boy. And beware that having kids later in life means that you'll most likely have less children and you'll have more resources because you have made more money, and therefore you'll spend more time, more money, more attention on each kid. This might seem like a good thing, but it can be quite detrimental. Why? Because it seems that this society, which is having less and less children, and having parents, as they call them, helicopter parents, watching every little thing that the child does, is creating a society of narcissists that think that their greatest accomplishment, their greatest contribution to humanity, is just taking pictures of themselves. It's just existing. Look at me. Look at me. I got to take pictures of myself. Why? Because my mere existence is amazing. Why? Because that's what my parents taught me for so many years. They just stared at me and focused on me and gave me all the attention and all the resources. I remember a while ago, I was speaking to a woman who had one child, and she was complaining about how the kid was very spoiled and wasn't really interacting with other kids very well. So I said, well, the only think about it from this perspective. The only child, when you're an only child, you're only dealing with your parents all the time, and parents are very mature, very patient, very reasonable. Whereas more siblings means that you learn how to deal with unreasonable people. That's a very important skill set to have. Dealing with kids. Kids are not fair. Kids are harsh. Kids are mean. Kids will insult. These are necessary skills to learn to navigate unreasonable people. And so, naturally, if you're only used to being catered to and always taken care of and always dealing with somebody who's very reasonable, hyper-reasonable, overly generous, then that might turn you into something negative. It might have a negative impact. So yes, a bigger family is training so that we can work together as a group. So we want to have big families so that we can train these young children to work in a group. Why? Because we need to better work as a group, as an ummah. Look at the ummah at large. See how big we are and how divided we are. See how much we lack these skills of working as a community. What we don't need is an ummah comprised of people, each of whom think that they're the center of the world. No, instead we need people who know how to work as a group. So this is another encouragement to do so. And inshallah, I'll continue in the second khutbah with a few hadith on this topic. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam sallam kathira. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Marriage should be encouraged. We know that Anas ibn Malik, رضي الله عنه, he reported, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمر بالباءة وينهى عن التبتل نهيا شديدا. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to command us to marry, and he would sternly, نهيا شديدا, he gave a stern forbiddance, forbidding us sternly of what? Celibacy. This idea that is becoming very popular, young men, oh, you know, maybe I'll delay, I don't know if I ever want to get married, I just want to kind of live that single life, sternly forbid this type of lifestyle. You have to become more mature. You got to grow up. And anybody who's had children knows the difference between the one who has and doesn't. The mindset completely shifts. Your attitude completely changes. You see the world in a new light. It forces you to grow up because now you have a wife and children that you are responsible for. This is a necessary education process, maturing process that every man is encouraged to go through, inshallah, if he's able to do so. A common question, well, if I have so many kids, then it's more likely that my child dies, right? If I focus on just a few kids, then I can keep them safe. Well, first of all, this attitude is very bizarre because everybody dies. Doesn't matter if you have one or 100 kids. Eventually, they all pass away, and we have to accept that reality that this life is transient. Whether you live to see it or don't see it doesn't change the fact that everybody passes away. So we have to accept that reality. But if you are still alive while your child passes away, first of all, this is written by Allah Ta'ala. But secondly, there's a beautiful hadith in which the Prophet tells us, إِذَا مَاتَ وَلَدُ الْعَبْدِ قَالَ اللَّهُ لِلْمَلَائِكَتِهِ قَبَضْتُمْ وَلَدَ عَبْدِي. When the child of one of my servants, one of my slaves dies, Allah says to the angels, have you taken the life of my servant's child? فَيَقُولُونَ نَعَمْ. They say yes. فَيَقُولْ قَبَضْتُمْ ثَمَرَةَ فُؤَادِهِ. Have you taken the fruit of his heart? You can say like the apple of my eye. Have you taken the child, which he is so beloved to him? فَيَقُولُونَ نَعَمْ. They say yes. فَيَقُول. So Allah Ta'ala then says, مَاذَا قَالَ عَبْدِي. Allah asks, what did my servant say as a reaction to this? فَيَقُولُونَ حَمِدَكَ وَاسْتَرْجَعَ. That he praised you, O Allah. And he said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. He said, to you, O Allah, we have all come and to you we all return. He was patient. He dealt with it as the believer should. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ. So Allah Ta'ala says, أُبْنُوا لِعَبْدِي بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَسَمُّهُ بَيْتَ الْحَمْدِ. Build for my servant a palace in paradise and name it the palace or the home or the abode of praise. Why? Because he praised me at such a difficult time. So build for him that castle, this home in paradise. So we should not be afraid of the inevitable, that everything goes. In fact, some Muslims will say, I don't want to have more children. Why? Because I don't want to share, divide up my time and resources amongst my children. This is a bad concept. Why? Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشَّةَ الْإِمْلَاقِ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Do not kill your children for fear of poverty. We provide for them and for you. Provision comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And subhanAllah, there are so many people who can testify to this. There are so many brothers, I'm sure, even in this room that can tell you the moment they had a child, with each child, new opportunities just showed up out of nowhere. Amazingly, subhanAllah, things just work out. Money starts showing up and you're amazed. And you realize, this wasn't for me. It seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just sent this because this person came with their own provisions. Your wealth does indeed increase with more children. Because the Prophet told us, إِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنصَرُونَ بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. The Prophet told us, indeed, you're given sustenance and you're given victory through the weakest amongst you. Or you could translate it, through the dependent amongst you. So it's because you take care of people that are dependent. It's because you take care of people who are weak, which includes people in society. You know, whether it be social programs that help people get back on their feet, educational programs, work programs. But this can also include children who are very dependent, obviously. They're weak. You have more children, you provide for them. And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala is going to keep on providing for you. This is something that is written when the angel comes to deliver the ruh into the fetus. The baby, the child, the fetus is just a lump of flesh. It's just a chemical process and reaction. When does it become a human? When the ruh is inserted. And the angel gives it four words. بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَيَكْتُبُ رِزْقَهُ وَأَجَلَهُ وَعَمَلَهُ وَشَقِيٌّ أَمْ سَعِيدٌ ثُمَّ يَنْفِخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ. The angel comes with these four orders, ordinances, if you will, which are what? His livelihood, his date of death, his deeds, whether he is good or bad, whether he is wretched or happy. And then his soul is breathed into him. This is a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. We know that Anas ibn Maliki reports that there were two brothers that came to the Prophet ﷺ. One of them complaining, saying, this brother of mine, he studies with you, he studies deen, which is nice, but I'm a businessman and I'm providing for him. Is this right? And he was kind of upset about it. And the Prophet ﷺ told him what? لَعَلَّكَ تُرْزَقُ بِهِ. Perhaps it is that you are provided because of him. Maybe it's the case that because you're supporting him, because he's dependent on you, Allah Ta'ala sends you more rizq. And this is something that is even more emphasized, more stressed, when the Prophet tells us, إن لله أقواما اختصهم بالنعم لمنافع العباد. Indeed, Allah has certain people that He has chosen because of how much they benefit others. I chose you because you benefit others. Whether it's your children, whether it's your extended family, whether it's your community, because you are of benefit to others, you're chosen for more blessings. يقرهم فيها ما بذلوها. That He grants them these blessings so long as they keep giving. That's the condition. You got to keep giving, and then you're going to keep receiving. فَإِذَا مَنَعُوهَا نَزَعَهَا مِنْهُمْ فَحَوَّلَهَا إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِمْ. And when they withhold their blessings, let's say there lots of money's coming in, they say, you know what, I think I'm going to keep it to myself. The moment that happens, Allah Ta'ala will remove those blessings and then will transfer it to somebody other than Him. Somebody who will be generous. Somebody who does want to help out humanity. Someone who does want to raise up the next generation of righteous children bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This is what will happen. And we know that ultimately shaitan hates Adam alayhi salam, our father. Shaitan hates every single human being, and thus hates when human beings have unity, whether it's a community or whether it's a marriage. And from that union coming new life, he hates when new children are born. Shaitan hates that whole process. This is why, when people were learning magic from Harut and Marut, what were they learning? فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. And they learned from them, they learned from Harut and Marut, the people, they learned that by which they cause separation between a man and his wife. This is the nature of this evil practice of magic. Destroy the family unit, because that's the way you corrupt society. And if that's not enough, then we know that Shaitan, he has a gathering of his shayateen, of his minions. He sends out different expeditions, different detachments, different groups of his to go mess with humanity, to try to send them astray, to whisper to them, suggest to them, see who's weak enough to follow. And then one person will stand up and say, I did such and such, I suggested this, I suggested that. And he'll say, yeah, you didn't do anything. That's not significant, so what? You know, this person will talk, this person will, everybody will say, I did this, I did that, I got him to look at the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, do the, whatever the case is. That's not enough. Then one of them will say what? مَا تَرَكْتُهُ حَتَّى فَرَّقْتُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ إِمْرَأَتِهِ. I didn't leave this guy alone. I kept on going with this guy until finally I was able to break him, separate him from his wife. That was my goal. I kept on working until I finally did that. That's when Shaytan says what? فَيُدِينِهِ. فَيُدْنِيهِ, excuse me, فَيُدْنِيهِ مِنْهُ. So he brings him nice and close to him. And some narrations says he even hugs him. And what does he do? He says, نِعْمَ أَنْتَ. He says, oh, you're awesome. You're the best. You're the winner today. So this is the ultimate goal. Destroy the family. Why? Because with no family, you have no children. And obviously, if you hate human beings, you don't want to see more of them on earth. This is the goal. This is how destruction of a family is the key to the social degradation. And we're seeing it every single day. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to teach us to celebrate the miracle of birth and to see societies going in one direction. And alhamdulillah, we're so happy to have more children. If that's not enough for you, please turn on the news and see how many of our children they are killing every day. See how many of our children they're killing every day. So what are you going to do? Continue with that process and say, you know what, I don't want to have kids. Or are you going to say, you know what, I rebel against this. You know what, you want to take away our children, I want to have even more. That's a nice act of rebellion to these shayateen, min al-ins, from these devils, in the shells of human beings that are killing children every day and justifying it and celebrating it. Literally celebrating in front of our eyes. May Allah Ta'ala forgive them, forgive us, and give them exactly what they deserve. So, as I was saying, we need to focus on the family. Focus on what will benefit us as a community. Learn to be united. Learn conflict resolution and how to work as a team. May Allah Ta'ala help us to focus on our families and also stop hiding. Invite people, non-Muslims, to your home. Not even for the sake of saying anything in particular. Just let them see what your family structure looks like. Why? So that inshallah Ta'ala, it's possible that we can convert people and bring them to Islam without any discussion, without any debate, by just showing them what is normal with us, by showing them the beauty of a traditional home. And I've heard many people who have embraced Islam who said exactly this. I saw the way you people lived, I saw your family structure, and I knew this must be the truth, so I researched it, and alhamdulillah, that made me embrace Islam. May Allah Ta'ala make us exemplary to the people around us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhill من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. باركت ربنا وتعاليت. ربنا آتنا في دنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم كثيرة. وأقم الصلاة.